up for that Father's Day service. It's very needed. Okay. I'm going to continue with what we were talking about the last time. And if you just give me a few minutes to get it here on my... I have my iPad so full it takes a while for it to really begin to work. We were talking about our identity in Christ. And we were talking about first that we must recognize our value. And I think if there's, as we said before, there's a difference in being egotistical, proud, and being a person that just knows your values. But the wonderful thing about how it can help us is that we recognize that those values are from the Lord. And that these things are what God has given us to make life that he has chosen for us to be very, very successful or fruitful. Maybe fruitful is a better thing to say. So when we recognize that in ourselves we do have value, and we were talking about the fact that we need to focus on those things, seeing what are our values and what we can do, and then what we cannot do. Some men and women have gone through life doing this and fail, doing this and fail, not realizing that they just don't have what it takes in this area, but it seems like they never quite understand that. So it's good if you and I understand what our gifts are, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. You know, we know that the Word of God said the man is the head of the house, which is the one who makes the final decisions. But sometimes men may not be good with the finances. I know right now a young couple that they were married for a little while, but because of the way he took care of finances, she divorced him. He bought and he bought and he bought and he put on the credit card, and she wasn't willing to live that kind of life. But so when we, even as a man, you recognize the value of your wife. If she's better at taking care of the money, let her take care of the money. If she's better in another area, let her do it. I noticed that a lot of men, Chinese men, are good cooks. Makes the best soup in the world, that guy back there, I tell you. And when a kid says that, you better believe it. You're going to have to cook it for us someday. And so actually there are men that love to cook, and their wives don't. So they do the cooking many times, or a good portion of the cooking. So it's really wonderful in life when we can understand our strengths and our weaknesses. But we talk so much about stop harmful pattern, thinking patterns. This is really so important. Because so many things in life, we have a negative attitude, negative thinking patterns. Now, our thinking pattern is something that we have established over a period of time, usually from the time we're little until right now, the type of thinking patterns we have. You will find those who have a complaint. They think, and when they're thinking, they're always complaining. Their thinking pattern is that the world doesn't treat me good. I don't have the luck other people have. I had a bad start. And so their life, their thinking pattern is they complain, they complain, they complain. There was one lady that her thinking pattern was opposite of whatever her husband's was. Did you ever meet anybody like that? And just opposite. And so if he was a traveler. He was a salesman or something. He traveled a lot. And then he would come back. And he would like to go out. He'd say to his wife, let's go out tonight. No, I don't want to go out. And he would ask, you know, something. No, I don't want that. I don't, you know. So he went to a counselor one time, and he was saying to him, I don't know what to do. She doesn't want to ever do the things that will, together, you know, that type of thing. So he said, I'll tell you what to do. You go and you tell her. I thought you might like to, I would, you know, we could have gone out, but I don't think I want to go out tonight. So he did it. He went home and he said to her, I'm home now and it would have been nice, but I don't think I want to go out. Oh, I want to go out. So they went out. So he began to understand her thinking pattern. And if he really wanted to do something, he just didn't want to do it. And she wanted to do it. So when we learn each other's thinking patterns. But you know, when we have this negative type of thinking pattern, there's 10 types of negative thinking patterns that they have studied and sort of come to the conclusion about. One of them is, and everything is black and white. Everything is either good or it's bad. There's nothing in between. You know, when we want our child to have A's, and they don't get A's, but they get B minus, or a B or a C, to us, to that person, that's not good. It's not good at all. And so they make their child feel as if they're not doing well, they should be doing that A. And so actually then, the child is really on an average or a little above average doing. There's some things that children are good in, and there are some things they are not good in. I am not good in foreign languages. I think the Lord knew that if I talked in, like I do in a foreign language, like I do in English, I'd never get any work done. I'm a talker. So he sent me to China. Nobody understands me unless they understand English. And you might think, well, Sister Schwartz, you never... I tried and I tried. I got several different types of computer type of training, you know, that type of thing. And I went through that. And I would try, but I can't get it. I went to Haiti. They speak the easiest language probably of any place because they speak phonetically. You know, they speak French, some of them, the higher class. They said French is what we, when we want to act like we're intelligent in the upper. Creole is what we speak in the house. English is what we speak if we want money. So that was the Haitians' philosophy. But Creole was a simple, just straightforward your phonetics. Do you think I could learn it? I tried and I tried. One day I wanted to tell this man that he had planted a mango tree and I wanted to thank him. So Ruth, she sat me down. We were standing or sitting, and she went over and over and over that sentence with me. And when I got out, she was by the window listening. And when I got out, what it turned out to be, I don't know, but she was in there laughing at me. I just have no sense of language. I've tried Latin. I tried Spanish. I tried Creole. I tried in Chinese. And all I can speak is a very, maybe not too good English. So we're not all in the sense... our children don't have all the same gifts. So we have to learn that. So, but if we're a type of person that everything is either black and white, we're not flexible in our thinking. It has to be just good. It has to be this way. And if it's even a little this way, it's bad. I don't want that. So this becomes a way of a thinking pattern. So when you talk about things, you think about things, it's always whether it's good or bad, no gray. And then there's the other one, when we overgeneralize. You tend to view any single negative it's always going to be negative. Well, it may have been good this time, but you wait, it'll end up bad. They always have that way of saying, you know, I don't think this is going to work. It's not going to really work. And so they always have this overgeneralizing that things are going to fail. It's not going to be so good. They have no optimistic thoughts about it. They just always on a negative theme. There's some that disqualifies the positive. They can't accept anything positive that happens. Oh, yeah, it may be this time. Again, it's almost like generalizing, but it's more of just knocking the positive. Let me tell you, she did well this time, but I know her. She won't do it again. Or, you know, just a sense of knocking down. This is a beautiful day. Yeah, but it's probably going to rain. You know? So it's that type of person that they just can't, they can't seem to take in the positive of anything. It seems like their whole life is always but. Then you have the mental filter. You filter out all good qualities of something so that you can focus on the negative. In this way, everything becomes negative. You take out all the good. Now, some of these are very close to each other, but they do have their own little patterns. And so you may be a person that you see things that are out there good, but you have a way of twisting that until it looks like it's more negative. It's not, it may be good, but it's this and that and the other. It's just not what I expect. You know, someone will go into a house and they'll see something in the kitchen. And someone will say, my, I like that. I don't like it, because if you're going to cook bacon, it's going to splatter up there. Always finding the negative. They filter out the good. They may see 199 good things, but they see that negative. Then the one that I have trouble with is jumping to conclusions. You know what I mean? You become a mind reader and a fortune teller. You interpret everything in a negative way without any supportive negativism in it. So in other words, like I told you the one about my friend Ruth. She loved her family, and at that time it seemed like God was putting on her to go home and be with her family. She took care of her mother and dad for 12 years. And then a lot of the family that got sick, and she took care of them. But when she first thought about this, as God was, I didn't think it was God. You see, I jumped to conclusions. So when she said she was going to leave, and she did leave, I thought to myself, oh, Ruth, you're putting your family ahead of God. Because that's always been sort of primary in my life. You're putting your family ahead of God. And I thought that for a long time. I'm jumping to conclusions. And I remember when God spoke to me when I was reading his word, and he was talking about someone he trusted with something in the word. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, that's Ruth. I trusted her to go home and take care of her family, her large family. Many of them are, I think a lot of them were saved during that period of their sicknesses. And oh, I cried and cried. I felt so bad. I went back and told her. She said, I knew you thought that. And I said, but Ruth, I'm so sorry. And jumping to conclusions is an easy thing to do. People tell you something, and right away, you have your conclusion about it. Another one is everything is either a terrible situation or it doesn't matter. It's just a little tiny. So many times they will take some little minor thing and blow it up. And it becomes really big in their lives or in their thoughts. But when it comes to things that really matters, they seem to pass over that. They have this negative way of blowing up where you don't see the tree for the forest, you see. And so this is another way that they actually do have a negative thinking pattern. Emotional reasoning. Now, I think that one is really a large one. You assume that your negative emotions and feelings reflect the actual thing. If you feel bad, everything's bad. In other words, in my emotions and in my feelings, I feel like that person. I feel like I think this, and so I come to that conclusion, and many times it's in a negative area. So we don't go by always our thinking or emotions. We need to learn facts. And so many times negative people don't know all the facts, and they just go by their feelings. I feel like she doesn't like me. Well, why do you feel that way? I just feel she doesn't like me. Many times this is what causes trouble in the family. Sister-in-laws don't think that sisters or brothers or sister-in-laws like them. Sometimes they don't think that the mother-in-law likes them. And so many times we may go by our thinking, our emotional feelings, and we just assume this in a negative way. Then we have the should statements, those who think in that way. You try to model the world after your own vision and reality instead of accepting the world's reality. A very common version of this is in our relationship. If she loved me, she would do this. If she loved me, she wouldn't do that. And so we are judging the world then by what we feel it should be like. Yes, but I think that your business should be so-and-so. And you say, but right now it's really down. Well, I see other businesses. I think yours should be so-and-so. Okay, we label and we mislabel. We overgeneralize in extreme. You actually believe that your overgeneralization makes it a reality in your mind. One of the little boys has an affliction in his arm. And so his great-grandmother, because she was raised in Taiwan, and back then, years ago, when you had a child that was afflicted, you sort of hid him away. There wasn't that, you know, you sort of, they weren't going to be put out on the exhibition. And so this little boy, because he has, I think probably because he has this problem with his arm, his great-grandmother thinks that the girl, she's wonderful, but the little boy, you know, we label them because of our thinking. So we have to be careful not to label people. Because they're black, I don't want anything to do with them. And anything they do, we have negative thoughts about them. Because she's, like right now, there's a man who says, I don't love you anymore because I found out you're a foreigner. And I want to go back to my roots. And so he wants a divorce. And so he's actually labeling because she isn't really from his country, that he doesn't want anything to do with her. Very foolish thing, and I think something wrong here. But anyhow, this is the kind of thing we have to be careful not to label or mislabel people. Now, these negative attitudes comes from our thinking. That comes from reactions to negative behavior. So you see, we are so intricately made that our thoughts becomes our actions. We don't maybe even show it, but our body language shows it. Our attitude for certain things. Right away, you can tell in a business, you know, how's your boss? Well, he's, you know, they don't want to say anything bad, but they, you know, right away, this is their attitude toward him. Why? They have some negative thinkings about him. They don't like him. And so their attitude. So whenever he does, you know, he tells them something, I want you to do this, and he walks away. You know, you have a look, or you, you know, that kind of thing. It's like we really have this attitude that shows out because of our negative thinking. So we actually need to begin to start thinking positively. Now, how do you start thinking positively? Now, I don't know if maybe I wasn't clear enough explaining these things, but I think you know if you have a negative attitude in some areas, that if you're a negative person, sometimes it's because you have maybe a husband that is very domineering and very controlling. And sometimes just because you don't want to do what he wants you to do, you become very negative, like that woman I was talking about. So we have negative thoughts and ways in us. Now, I want you to think about this. If we have a little time, we've got about 10 minutes. First, we need to focus, always in life. We're so busy, sometimes so scattered brain. Sometimes we don't really want to know. So we hide things from ourselves. But when we learn to focus on what you think about. Start beginning to see how you reply to things, how you feel about things, how your attitude toward things. You know, really, lots of things, and there are things in our life that we don't really know how we are. I remember one time, Brother Shi. He has his voice is very loud and sort of a little rough at times because he was a farmer boy. He was raised in the farm. And so one day he was talking to someone and it was on the recorder. And when he got off and he had listened to it back, he said, "Do I talk like that?" My mother did that. My mother was a fast talker. She was a fast thinker and a fast talker. So one time they just come out with these recorders way back when. They were about this big, you know. They were very large. And my dad, he loved to get things like that. So we had a recorder. And so at lunchtime, we had company. And it was dinner, Sunday dinner. We had company and everybody. I don't know if it's a holiday or what. But everybody was around, and they were all talking. And finally, my mom, she was talking on it. And we turned it on to listen, and she said, "Who's that woman? I can't even understand her." That was my mother. I had a girl that came home with me from Texas. And in Texas, they're pretty slow, you know. They don't do anything too really fast. You know, that kind of thing. And when she heard my mother, she looked at me and said, "What did she say?" So many times there are things in us that we don't see. We don't understand. We don't realize. So, and people lots of times are either afraid of us, or they don't want to hurt us, or they think it's not their business, so they don't tell us. But actually, what we need to do is focus ourselves on it. We should start thinking what are we thinking about? What are we saying? Remember what I say about being stuck, because everything is stuck in our mind. You know, we just sort of, how shall I say? We never really address the source of anything. We just talk. We just think. But we never go back to reason why. Why am I saying this? Why is it always I have to be, it's either right or wrong. There's nothing in between. Why is it that it seems like emotionally how I feel is the way I go at things and I think about things as negative. I always see that little thing that's wrong. And we sort of brag on that sometimes. We sort of say, "Well, I'm an observant person. I see everything." Well, sometimes, you know, you're better off you don't see everything. But this is the fact that we begin to understand ourselves. So our negative actions or words are coming from our negative thinking. So whatever my pattern is, it's coming out. Then we see, if possible, we need to control these, if we can. But it's a fact that you have to begin to take into subjection. Now, this is what Paul said. He told us that we have to take all these thoughts into captivity. We have to bring these thoughts in. And that's what's wrong with it. We always just go on. We don't really try. But when we can take our thoughts into captivity, that's when we become victorious. Then a second thing is, don't live, or if you can help it, you can't always help it, but don't live around people that are so negative. If you have a person at work where you go out to eat and all they are is negative, before long you're going to find yourself in that type of thing. So it's better if people are negative, just be kind to them and nice to them, but don't try to be great friends, because it may rub off on you. Believe it or not, this is what they say. Third, make a list of all the areas of your life that you want to change. Now, up the top, we're beginning to focus. Now I have a list. Now, I've made lists like that. And I used to pray over them, "Lord, I'd like to change this." Because there's many things I wasn't happy about with me. I'm a sanguine, and sometimes I say things before I think. It gets out of here before it gets up here. And it's always usually something humorous that really shouldn't, you know, it has nothing to do with things, just to get a laugh. And the Lord, I had to begin to work on some of these things. So if you start to make a list of things that you want to change, list all your negative attitudes. Now, before, in the first one, I'm telling you to focus. That's you're taking inventory. You're listening to be able to say, oh, is this my thinking pattern? So then in as I go down, I'm making my list now, and I put these things down. And if you can't think of a thing to put on your list, ask your family. Ask your coworkers. They'll probably have some things you can add to your list. Then in the fourth one, begin, if I'm a negative person, you know, people get so caught up with what they say that they don't know how to say anything different. And they'll say, well, I want to be positive. Now let me think. What can I say? Because they really do not have positive statements in their tape recorder, if you want to say, in their brain. So many times they're saying to you, if you have negative thoughts, write down some good positive thoughts that are opposite to that. Write them down. You say, well, this is too... You see, that's what happens to man. With us, we take everything that we have and go along with it. Well, I can't help it. Well, I don't see it. Well, I was born with it. But in our jobs, we think about what we want to do. We write these things down. We see how we're going to change our job. We are so apt at that kind of thing, but we never think about ourselves. So they say, you know, just write down some good statements that you can use. Learn how to, I don't know how to compliment people, you say. Learn how. I really appreciate you doing that. I really love that gift you gave me. Man, I can't thank you for getting my coffee for me. You know, sometimes we'll look up and, you know, sometimes I'm tend to be, hi, and that was it. I'm looking at them, there they go, hi. You know, we have to understand that God has asked us to be gracious, to show kindness. And these are the things that he's looking for in our life. And some people have more of a proning to that, but others don't. Very difficult. And that's why we have to, he tells us in the word, examine yourself. He tells us that we have to live so that we have to watch these things. We have to be, you know, sometimes we talk about God as Jesus is the vine, and we they're going to be pruned. But sometimes it doesn't always have to be God. It may be God putting the thought in my mind, but maybe I'm the one that's doing the pruning. You know, when I got to, like I told you before, I was a junkie for news. I loved it. Then they got that thing on Fox that was all day. Can't remember what it is now, but it was news. It was not news. It was people discussing. Every hour there was a different subject. You know what I mean, don't you? Anyway, maybe none of you listen, but I used to listen to it. Actually, I started in Taiwan because I had sprained both of my knees and I had, well, different things, and I could hardly get up, and I was up and down, but I couldn't get out. So I started listening to that. But when I got home, I still kept listening, and I listened to all the news. In the evening, oh, I had to get my news. And you know, one day, and I was really, and that was when the politics were pretty heavy, and I was getting very involved in my mind and thinking and my own feelings about what I thought about the president and all these things. And I began to think, you know, that's not nice, that's not right. And then God began to say, you've got to turn these things off. Oh, that was hard. I said to the Lord, news isn't sinful. And news wasn't sinful. But how it was consuming my life was. And I had to then begin to prune myself. I had to begin to turn it off. And when I get that desire to turn it off, I have to do something else. Until now, I'm as happy as a bug in a rug. I don't know much, but I'm very happy. I don't have any more problems with my pressure. It doesn't go up. When I feel some more complaining about the president, I still haven't changed my mind, but I pray for him. So you see, sometimes we have to prune ourselves, and as the Lord shows us. And last of all, pray with an eye to the fact that he will hear me. I thank God. I it took me a long time to get there, but I finally got to the place where I can say, Lord, I believe you. And I got to the place now, my hope is built on Jesus Christ. And so when I desire that God do something for me, or knowing he wants to do something for me, I begin to pray in the positive. Lord, I believe you. I believe you can help me. I believe I can overcome. And you will be surprised how what God will do and how he helps us. So we have to understand these things. And this is a good way to get out of that negative thinking, out of that negative way you have, out of the negative attitude you have. And I know if you can think hard enough, you can think of somebody that has negative attitudes. Of course, it's not you, but I'm sure you can think of someone. So let us take some of this in. We really want to do what God wants us to do. But we ourselves have to be a part of what God wants to do for us. Paul talked about, now put off these things. Now he didn't say I'm going to zap them off. He said, put off. And then over here he said, put on these things. Now he didn't say, you know, I have a friend up in Virginia. He's a doctor. He was raised back when the sun was the pride and joy in China. And they were wealthy. And he said he never had to do more than put his arms out and they dressed him. Put his arms out and they put this coat on him. You know, I mean, he was just, but that's not the way God does it. He tells us we have to put off and we have to put on. So if we have these problems, ask God to help us. Father, we are so glad that you have given us this information, that we don't have to live a negative life, because negativism brings us down. It doesn't bring joy or hope or help. But when we begin to recognize we live with a positive God who is able to do all things through his grace, I pray you'll bless us in thy name. Amen. Once time. Oh my, it's 12:31.